Good morning, 7:41 on the Mighty 690, and it's another Friday, and that means we have a legislative update joining us, as he does on the third Friday of the month. We have Representative Ron Bryce. Good morning, sir. How are you doing?
Good morning. Good to be here.
Good deal. Good deal. Good to have you. So, we've got, you know, just lots going on here in Coffeyville as we get into the fall.
Yeah.
And I mean, we had a great, you know, spectacular last night. Lots of kids out and everything, and that was really good.
Probably a lot of tummy aches this morning after all that candy.
Yeah, my dog ate a little too much popcorn, I think. So, yeah.
I think we handed out my wife Lydia handed out 900 pieces of candy last night.
So. Yeah, we ran out of the 500 bags of popcorn we made. So,
that was a lot of work.
It was, yeah.
We just went to Dollar General.
Well, see, here's the thing. In radio, this is, you know, we've got to do the most amount of work for the cheapest amount. Like, it seems like what we have to do. So, you know, like, this is our trademark here. So, but, you know, we've kind of just gotten known for the popcorn thing. So we have to put in, we always have to put in the most amount of work, regardless.
Well, when you do something well and people like it, then you're kind of stuck.
That's the thing.
It's expected.
That's the thing. So they were all day. They pre-popped about 400 bags, and that didn't even last an hour.
Wow.
So we popped the other 100 on site there, and it was chaos. It was good, though.
Well, I do like this time of year. It's the cool weather moves in, and I just feel invigorated. You know, I think me as a, you know, I sometimes campaign in the summer, and just those 100-degree days going door to door and sweating it out. It's always a relief when the cool weather comes in, and I just appreciate the weather, and this time of year always seems nice to me.
Oh, absolutely. No, it's always some good stuff. So, hey, you were wanting to talk a little bit about the KDOT meeting we had not too long ago, trying to impress upon, you know, the state a little bit of the different priorities here that we have in Southeast Kansas, because, you know, they don't really know unless they ask on a lot of this stuff. So, obviously, nothing really official from that, but some ideas came out of that.
Exactly. KDOT, of course, is Kansas Department of Transportation, and I was able to go last week to a regional meeting in Iola. It was hosted by Calvin Reed. He's the secretary of KDOT, Kansas Department of Transportation. And the purpose of the meeting really was to, you know, building highways, repairing highways, replacing highways, it's a very, very expensive thing, and so there are limited resources, and they're trying to get an idea of where those resources should be allocated. And I'm happy to say for the general radio audience we have here that I think 160, 169, those U.S. 160, U.S. 169, those roads are probably going to be moving up to the top of the list mostly because of the new Bartlett plant that's being built and rapidly approaching between Coffeyville and Cherryville. And I think... You know, people on the street, sometimes I talk to people about the Bartlett plant. They don't know exactly what's going on there, but it is going to be a real game changer, I think, for the economy down here in Montgomery County, Southeast Kansas, because they are spending, one estimate is $375 million on this plant. If you go over there, have you been over there, James?
I've driven by, yeah. It's impressive.
It's impressive. 14-story high concrete silos for the beans. They're going to, right now they're employing 500 construction workers. So just that is a phenomenal boon for the economy. And they're going to process soybeans from all over the four-state area, which right now the farmers tend to go down to the Port of Catoosa in Oklahoma and ship them out. And it's transportation costs are higher that way. Now they'll be able to have, Southeast Kansas will have a processing plant right in our backyard. But that having been said, with this coming online next year with the soybean processing, the Department of Transportation is looking for where to invest their resources. And the first, probably the highest priority in the area is going to be U.S. 160 in Montgomery County and LeBec County. It's from just east of 169 to Altamont, if you've ever gone along that road. It needs to have shoulders on it. I spoke with one highway patrolman who worked that area, and there are no shoulders, and there are drop-offs, from just a foot or two to more. And so if he pulls over a car, there's no place for them to pull over. And so, and also many, many school buses, and going down that road in the mornings and the afternoons and with the sun in the eyes. And it's very likely that something bad could happen. And so that's a high priority. It's also associated with the Bartlett soybean plant. The plan would be to resurface and add shoulders for about 14 miles there. And the cost is $24 million. And so it's a high price tag, but that's probably one of the highest modernization projects. Another high priority is probably US 160 in Montgomery County, a little further to the west from 169 to the first curve there. It's to reconstruct it and add shoulders for about 2 miles there, and it's $10 million. Kind of a second-tier priority, which still is in the running. There are three of them. One is Highway 169, which, of course, goes north and south in Montgomery County from 160 to 400. It's to add passing lanes. People really feel more comfortable when there are passing lanes in some of these highways like that. It's 9 miles, $10 million. And then the other one that has a moderate feasibility for being done is Highway 161, going from 160 north to 160 from Coffeyville and adding passing lanes for 9 miles, and that's $10 million. So wow. we're talking about tens of millions of dollars, limited resources for the state, but I think for public safety, these are some projects that are going to be much more feasible, especially since the Bartlett plant's under construction.
Sure. No, that does make sense. And do you remember, was there any more discussion on 400? I mean, I know there's been a talk of, you know, trying to make that four lane, or at least maybe add some more passing lanes in a few parts.
Yeah, there is. Highway 400 is under discussion, but it was a lower priority. And again, probably focusing more on the Bartlett plant and a little bit closer to it. But 400 is definitely on the radar for the Department of Transportation.
Gotcha. So, hey, we got a lot to get to that we still want to talk about. This past week, there was a problem that came up with the court computer system. And every county was affected except Johnson County, I believe, because they have their own system. But do you have any more details on any of this?
Well, they're holding the details kind of tight to the vest, and that makes me wonder if there might have been some kind of a security hack or something like that. But the bottom line is it's slowed down some of the court filing, not only for the district and appellate courts, but also for the Kansas Protection Order Portal, the Kansas District Court Public Access Portal, Kansas Attorney Registration Portal, and even marriage licenses and different things are affected by this that are all online, except Johnson County. As you said, they have their own separate system. But something happened to interrupt the filing system. And you can still get a marriage license. They can still file these court documents, but it can't be online. It has to be on paper, by hand, through the mail, or by fax machine. And so we're going to find out more about, at some point after the investigation, what happened. But I would be concerned that there was some kind of a hack. It seems to be more of a security incident rather than just a technical failure.
Well, and heck, I mean, even overnight there was a problem nationwide, I guess, with the 911 system. Who would have thought that would be all tied in? But wow. I know affected some Parsons had mentioned some about it. It's back now, but I mean that's a little scary too. So
yeah, the technology that we live in today, the age we live in, is a two-edged sword, James. You know, we do have much more convenience. But at the same time, we make ourselves a little more vulnerable to those who have ill intent, or we become more dependent on a system that when it goes down, we just seem to not be able to do our daily lives. And so it's a blessing and a curse.
Well, airlines seem to run into problems at least a couple times a year with, you know, massive delays with computer systems that fail. I mean, obviously, trying to schedule something like that is mind-boggling. But they do seem to run into problems on a pretty frequent, regular basis, at least.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we'll get through this, but we'll find out more after they finish the investigation.
Sure, sure. Now, you want to talk a little bit about property tax as well this morning.
Yes, let me just say, when I go and meet with constituents, meet with people on the street and in businesses, probably the most hated tax of all is property tax. And so we've been really working hard. I've been fortunate to be on the tax committee in the House. Senator Virgil Peck, of course, is vice chairman of taxation in the Senate. So we have some tax committee representation here in Montgomery County. But the thing that struck me, I guess it really hit home a couple of months ago. My son owns a rental house. He bought a house for a small amount because it was ready to be torn down almost. But he restored it, repaired it, did some painting, fixed the bathroom. And he got a tax bill in the mail, or a tax assessment in the mail a couple of months ago. And his property taxes had gone up 283%. And he didn't have the resources to pay these property taxes. The property taxes were approaching the actual value of what he had bought the property for. And so I talked with the county tax assessor, and it's a difficult problem that we're approaching here. But the Senate last session did try to approach this with a constitutional amendment, Kansas constitutional amendment, Senate. A continuing resolution 1611, you can look it up, SCR 1611, it would hold property tax increases to 4% per year. And I think it's a good idea. I think the devil's in the details, of course, and you don't want to use just a blunt instrument that could hinder resources in the future. But when, you know, I see a lot of state agencies, state employees, state government people, and they seem to not be able to withstand the slightest decrease. The budgets never decrease, really. They just have a decrease in the increase. You know, instead of a 5% increase, they get a 4% increase, and it's tragic. But we have to start thinking about the taxpayers, because when they have to pay multiple times the amount of taxes over change over a year, they don't have any other recourse. And so the Senate continuing resolution, if it passes two-thirds in the House, two-thirds in the Senate, doesn't need the governor's signature. It will go to the people next election, and the people can vote on this, but it would limit the assessed value increase to 4%. So that's one piece of the puzzle. Another piece of the puzzle, of course, is reducing the mill levies and how the percentage of the that the tax is on those assessed values, and that can be approached also. But I think this is a good bottom line to help extreme increases in property taxes, because for me, having people keep their hard-earned money is foremost, because you know the state right now has $1.6 billion with a B in a rainy day fund, and it has another $4 billion or so with a B in just checking, I guess basically checking accounts, and they're sitting on this hoard of cash. And yet when we pass tax cuts and we pass tax relief for individual people, it was vetoed by the governor, and we were unable to override that veto. But it just bothers me that there's a lot of concern about tax consumers, so to speak, and not the taxpayers. And so Senate Continuing Resolution 1611, you can look it up. I think that'll be a good way to go. We're hammering out the details, and I'm sure it'll come up this upcoming session. It'll be one of the first things on the agenda.
All right, appreciate that update. Now, you said you do have a new legislator to welcome as well.
Right. Actually, Fred Patton, he was the chairman of the Judicial Committee. He's an attorney in the Topeka area, and he has resigned between sessions here. And so the local Republican Party and the members of the local Republican Party have picked Kyle McNorton. He's a retired gentleman in the Topeka area. I've not met him in person. I've started communication with him with email. But some people may remember the name Kyle McNorton because he was a KU football star back in the day, you know, late 70s, early 80s. He was a linebacker. I think at one time he was the all-time leading tackler in KU history. And he was an All-American. He's retiring from the oil and gas business. He's been, for the last couple of years, making making his life meaningful by working with local groups and charitable organizations. And it just seemed a good fit to have him on board. And just from what I read about him, I'm impressed that he is a conservative gentleman. He's concerned about budgeting. He's pro-life. I think he will be a good representation for the Republican Party, and he'll be a great member in the Republican caucus in the House.
Very good. Well, we got about a minute and a half left here with Representative Ron Bryce. Sir, anything else you'd like to hit on here while we have you on the air?
Well, time always flies, you know, when we're having fun.
That's
here.
That's right.
But I just appreciate you allowing me to be on the show today. I was just, you know, we were talking about the weather and just how refreshing it is to me this time of year. And I'm invigorated. And recently I was tempted to be a little discouraged. You know, you look at things like what's happening with terrorists in the Middle East, and you actually have American citizens protesting in favor of terrorists. You see the different problems that we face. And I was a little concerned about my children and grandchildren and the world they're growing up in. But I just keep encouraging myself, I guess, you be a way to say it, is we need to have faith in God. We need to have courage. We need to know what we stand for. And I am happy to be the representative for Montgomery County, District 11. And I would be happy to speak with anyone who needs, has a concern. Constituent services is very high on my priority. You can go to ron.bryce@house.ks.gov. That's my email. And I'd be happy to help you with anything.
All right, Representative Ron Bryce, thanks so much and have a good day. We appreciate you joining us.
Thank you.